it is an amazing place to work. It really is, you know, to be able to go out onto the water and to grow a product or to grow your fish is really quite neat. You know, to bring a small group of smolt in or small fish in to the sea, and then a year later, you know, to be harvesting these beautiful 4.5 kilo salmon. It's wonderful.
This is the Deep in the Weeds podcast. I'm Anthony Huckstep. There are few more important topics than sustainability right now, especially when it comes to our oceans, waterways, and the way we manage our appetite for their glorious bounty. There are some setting the standard and creating best-in-class fish by looking after the environment and the sustainability of the community too. Mark Priest is the Seawater Operations Manager for New Zealand King Salmon. Mark, how are you?
Oh, great. Thanks, Huck. Good to talk.
Well, it's great to have you on the show. You're in some pretty special environment there with the King Salmon. Tell us a little bit about where the farms are.
Yeah, right. So we're located in the middle of, basically in the middle of the New Zealand, top of the South Island, in the picturesque Marlborough Sound. So it's a lovely sunny day here today, and here we are, or here I am, I should say, talking to you. I'm out on the water here at one of the sea sites. Yeah, it's a lovely day, beautiful clear water, and just watching the fish here on our farm.
What's so great about the location for what you do there?
Oh, look, Huck, it's an amazing place to farm fish. You know, the Marlborough Sounds is a really sheltered waterway, so our farms are protected from the from any of the weather events that happen around us. We get enough lovely sort of cool water that flows up the east coast of the South Island and flows into the Marlborough Sounds, so it provides a beautiful environment or beautiful growing environment for our fish.
Tell us a little bit about the King Salmon. It's quite a different species. There's quite all types of salmon on the planet, but what's so special about that?
Yeah, right. A really, really good point. So, of all the salmon that's produced around the world, King Salmon is about 0.7% of the world's production, and the lion's share of King Salmon, ironically, is produced out of New Zealand. It's a really special fish in the fact, or the reason it's called a king salmon actually is because it's a really grows to the largest of all the salmonids. It can get up to about 65 kilos, so massive fish, and they're really, really sought after historically when they were fished. When you grow them, they're really, really high oil, so lots of those sort of heart healthy omega-3s, DHA, EPA, which are essential sort of long-chain fatty acids for all sorts of health benefits. There's plenty of those. And I've got a lovely sort of soft, buttery mouthfeel when you bite into them. So it's a beautiful eating fish. It really is. It's well sought after. And the fish that we grow is all destined for premium food service places around the world. So it is really sought after.
Take us back over the history of the farmed fish. How was it introduced and the farmed fishery created?
Yeah, so originally salmon were introduced into New Zealand by the Climatisation Society, and they brought them over here primarily for sport fishing or for sport purposes. And then towards the probably mid-1960s, 1970s, there was a period there where New Zealand decided they wanted to ocean ranch salmon. So very similar to what they do in Canada, where they wanted to grow them in hatcheries, put them out to the sea where they would fatten up and grow, and then they would return for harvesting. But we didn't get many returns that used to run back up the rivers. So that project was essentially unsustainable. So what we decided to do was to create a farm, so to fully encompass the life cycle. So we'd do the freshwater breeding and then put them to sea, but in a large enclosure. And we'd grow them, and that way we could get fish to harvest. So that's sort of the brief history of when they were brought in or why they were brought in, and where we are now with the farming.
The life cycle of the fish is relatively unknown to most people. Take us through that life cycle of the king salmon on the farm?
So in what we try to do in the farming situation is we try to mimic what they would do in the wild situation. So salmonids are anadromous, so it means basically they go to sea, they live out there and grow, and then return to freshwater to spawn, and then the cycle repeats itself. So we mimic that in the farm environment. We've got freshwater hatcheries, so we've got three freshwater hatcheries. One at Waikurupupu Springs, which is renowned for being the most clear or most clear water in the world, where we have a classical breeding program where we pick the best eating traits from each of the salmon, and we spawn them, mix them up, and hatch the or grow the eggs at that hatchery. Then they're transported down to one of our smolt growing hatcheries, which is still in fresh water. We hatch the eggs there and grow them to what we call fingerlings. So that's a smolt that's about 100 grams big. And at that point, they're ready to be transported to seawater and to begin their seawater life. So they're loaded onto onto trucks. And in that truck is like a live well system, so it provides them with oxygen and obviously in water, and they're driven up and then barged out to the sea sites where they're placed into the sea sites ready for on-growing. And it's at that point, I suppose, we grow them from 100 grams up to 3 kilos, 4 kilos, and now they're ready as a premium salmon.
What impact does that seawater life have on the fish?
The sea in the wild, they'll go to sea because there's more food in the sea, so that's where they get all their nutrients from. Whereas the freshwater environment, there's not a lot of fish for them to eat, so that's really why they've evolved to go to sea. But in our farming situation, you can grow them in both seawater and freshwater. If you grow them in seawater, you get a very different sort of flavour and taste profile. So it's a wee bit like the difference between a marine fish and a freshwater fish. They've just got different flavours.
Take us back to when you were young. When did a life in seafood present itself to you?
I guess it was one of those things that was always probably going to happen. I was brought up on Rikuhu, so Chatham Islands, a small island, pretty much in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, actually, between New Zealand and Chile. And I was brought up there for the first 20 years of my life. My father was a fisherman there, and we had a small farm. So being surrounded by the sea, I guess I was always going to get involved in the seafood industry. So we used to have go fishing. I spent the first part of my career fishing for crayfish and abalone, or pawa, as we call it locally here in New Zealand. And after studying at university, I got a job working for New Zealand King Salmon, and I really enjoyed it. It's a great place to work. It's really good to be out on the water. And so I've sort of stuck around here ever since.
Take us back to Chatham Island when you were a kid and your father was a fisherman. Do you have any stories of those days that you can share?
Yeah, it's a pretty wild place to grow up, actually. You know, I sort of look back to my childhood, and you know, we lived on an island. We didn't have fridges and freezers. There were no phones. There was no internet. There was no TV. We used to have a ship that used to deliver stores to the island once every 6 months. So we used to get flour and sugar. So very much the basics. So you're very much living off the land. You know, you'd eat sheep or kill mutton, eat sheep. You'd catch fish, and, you know, mum would bake bread. We had a house cow. So it was very, very much subsistence living. And, you know, it was fascinating. I can remember when we got our first telephones over there, and we used to go to my uncle's place every Friday and make a phone call out to New Zealand. And, you know, that was a point of contact sort of thing. Dad was the postmaster. We used to get the mail that used to come over on the boats, and, you know, big bags of mail, and everyone from the island would come down to the wharf, and, you know, we'd get our mail. And it was, again, you know, a point of contact for the rest of the world. So it was a really, it was isolated, a very strong community, but a fantastic place to grow up.
What are your fondest memories of growing up and fishing on the Chathams?
It was a real privilege growing up there. The fishery on the Chatham Islands was discovered much, much later than that in New Zealand. So, which meant that a lot of the fish or a lot of the fish stocks there were virtually untouched. So I got to see what the original fish stocks must have looked like all around the world before they were fished. So they were massive, massive fish. So the crayfish, the fishery there was, mainly, big crayfish. There were lots of reef fish, so lots of grouper and those sorts of things. You know, I can remember times when I was probably very much an early teenager, 10, 11, 12, when we'd want to have fish for tea, and Mum would ask me to go out to catch some fish. And we used to paddle out on tire tubes, and we'd catch grouper that were probably, they'd be good 20, 30 kilo, 40 kilo grouper, really, really big fish. And we'd just catch them within, a couple of hundred meters of the shore. It was incredible. It really was.
Sustainability is a topic that everyone is concerned with at the moment. But the fishery that you look after has been setting the benchmark for a long time. What does it take to have that ethos and operations within such a big company as the New Zealand King Salmon?
Sustainability is really, really important. I mean, we need to make sure that what we're doing now is sustainable, that we can carry on and continue to do it, and we need to make sure that we're responsible with the materials that we use to produce food. And that's where King Salmon has been an excellent role model in this space. So the big focus for us as a farmer is making sure that we're looking after the or looking at how we produce the food. So we want to make sure that all the ingredients that go into that food are sourced from sustainable sources. So things like sustainable crops, sustainable fisheries. And then, once the food's made, so that's outsourced by food companies, but we obviously maintain a high degree of focus over that value chain. Once that food is manufactured, when we feed the pellets to the salmon, we need to make sure that we're using making sure we're maximising every pellet that hits the water, basically, the salmon are eating. And that's a key part of my role, was making sure that takes place. So in order to do that, over the pens, we've got a food distribution, like a spinner, that basically sprinkles the food over the pens. We feed the salmon, or salmon are crepula, they feed morning and evening. So we mimic that in the farming environment. And how we ensure that they're full is we've got an underwater camera that was set up 5 meters deep in the pen. We can watch the salmon feed. And there's a point there, once they're sated or once they're full, we can turn the feeders off, and we make sure all the feed that we feed goes into the salmon and none is wasted.
Everyone's perception of sustainability may be slightly different through experience and through roles. What does sustainability mean to you?
That's a really good question. I mean, for me, sustainability is making sure that we're, working in balance or the resources or the materials that we're using today, we're able to replace them quickly, or replace them at the same rate. And that way we can just continue doing these things year in, year out. And I think that's a really important thing at New Zealand King Salmon. We spent a lot of time and effort focusing in this space.
Farming salmon would have its range of challenges. Do you have any stories of the issues over the years and challenges that you've had to overcome?
Yeah, we've certainly plenty of challenges on salmon farming, but I could sort of think of probably in the early parts of my career, we used to get seals coming back into the Marlborough Sound. So historically, seals were under pressure from the sealing and whaling in the early, I think it was mid 1800s, And obviously now the populations are breeding up and they started to move back into the Marlborough Sounds, and they started to put a lot of pressure on the salmon farms. And there were, what we do now is we put a big predator net around the salmon farm, and that just keeps, it's basically a physical barrier and that keeps the seals out. But, you know, I can remember times where we had seals that used to, our feed barges alongside the farms, they'd climb up on the boats and actually in through the windows to gain access to the farm. So, you know, it's one of those things where you've got, it's not only our customers that love our salmon, of course, it's the seals. They really love it too.
What's the average day like on the sea farm, a sea water farm?
The normal day for a salmon farmer would be getting up early, sort of at daylight. They'll get up, they'll make their own breakfast. So they've got, you know, we've got a really good sort of kitchen facilities on the barges that they live on. So they'll make themselves a breakfast there, and then they'll start do a round of the farm, you know, making sure that everything's intact and the farm's secure, just to do our basic sort of security checks, check on the fish, make sure everything's all okay with there, make sure any seals haven't breached any of our defences overnight. And once they're happy with that, then they'll start up the feeding system. So feeding system's basically like a blower that blows food out to the pen, and then that food is sprinkled sort of gently over the surface of the pen for the fish to feed. And they'll be sitting here on the barge looking at a large TV monitor, and that TV monitor's got the picture of the underwater cameras that are set up in each pen, so they can watch the fish feeding, and just using this computer control system, they'll be able to alter the amount of food that a salmon pen gets fed. So if the fish want more food, or if they're eating really actively, they can speed up the amount of, or the delivery rates of the salmon feed, and if they're slowing down, they can slow it down to the point where they stop it. Feeding's a really core part of the role. It's a massive cost to the business, and we want to make sure that every pallet of salmon food ends up inside a salmon. The rest of the day is pretty much spent keeping the biofouling off the nets. So we get naturally occurring seaweed and organisms that grow on the nets, and we want to make sure that they are water blasted off. And that way we can maintain the oxygen flow to the pens and hence to the fish. So we've got an in-water net cleaner, these large in-water net cleaners. It's almost like a lawnmower, you could argue, but they're a water blaster instead of cutting blades, but water blaster, and they water blast the nets, and the operator drives them underwater, so they fly them through the underwater, I suppose, like an ROV, and they just fly them around the nets, water blasting the biofouling from the nets. That keeps the nets nice and clean.
How does it make you feel being out on the farms?
I think it's, you know, firstly, it's a real privilege to operate here in the Marlborough Sounds. So, we've obviously got permission from a supportive community to be able to use what is essentially public water space for farming. And I guess, you know, part of the reasons why they see that as important is, you know, people have to eat. And, you know, producing a high quality premium food here in the Marlborough Sounds, it gives people jobs. So it is genuinely a privilege to be able to operate here. I guess other things, it is an amazing place to work. It really is, you know, to be able to go out onto the water, and to grow a product to grow your fish is really quite neat. You know, to bring a small group of smolt in or small fish in to the sea, and then a year later, to be harvesting these beautiful 4.5 kilo salmon. It's wonderful.
Tell us about Ora King salmon.
So Ora King salmon is our special breed of salmon. So it's part of, we run a classical breeding program in New Zealand, King Salmon Company. And what we've done over many years is we've selected specific traits. So, you know, eating traits, the high oil, the lovely colour, beautiful texture. we've selected all those fast growth, all those really good traits, and we've created a breed of salmon which we call Aura King. They go out into the sea farms, or those fish are grown out into the sea farms, and when they're harvested, what we do is we also hand grade those fish in the factory. So essentially what we're doing is we're selecting the best of the best, and it's those special fish that we put aside for, or essentially reserved for special customers, and they end up primarily or solely going to food service. So really, really sought after. And you know, chefs all around the world really love the Aura King salmon.
What's some of the attributes that make the King salmon an Aura King salmon?
So it's the large size, and often and with that large size, you want the high healthy oil content, and you know, it's that combination of the oil and the beautiful colour, which shows you've got a really, really healthy fish, which gives it this lovely, and the combination of all that gives it this sort of soft, buttery mouthfeel, and you know, beautiful flavours that are carried through on those lovely oils. So you know, they really are a wonderful fish. They're beautiful.
After harvesting your salmon, where do they end up?
So we harvest the salmon out on the salmon farm. So gently, we've got a specialised harvest team that arrives out on the farm. We gently corral the fish together and harvest them onto a barge, and they're placed really, really quickly, or they're euthanized and bled and placed really, really quickly in an ice slurry, and then transported back to our processing plant in Nelson, where they're processed that night. So, you know, often people say fresh is best with salmon. But I tend to think that, you know, salmon need to be rested for a period of time, like we age steak or age meat. You also need to rest your salmon. So the salmon's gilled and gutted. And the resting period for our Aura King or for our salmon happens as they're transported to the customer. So when you get them, you've got a fish that's essentially ready to eat.
The Aura King is destined for some of the best restaurants in Australia, New Zealand, and around the globe. Do you have any experiences of eating the fish in some restaurants that you can tell us about?
I've got lots of experiences of eating the salmon in some pretty lovely places, actually. It's kind of difficult to describe it, but I mean, the chefs do an amazing job in terms of presenting the salmon. So one, yeah, the visual presentation of the fish, or of the salmon, is incredible. And you know, in my opinion, it really rounds out the eating experience. You know, if it looks good, it also helps it taste good, if that makes some sort of sense. But they also are really skillful at being able to the things that they add to the plate enhance the flavour. And they're not too overpowering, so it doesn't detract from the flavour. So, you know, I've had some wonderful dishes in New Zealand, in Australia, and also in other places. So North America would probably be the other place where I've had our Aura King.
King salmon is a fish that can be enjoyed in many different applications, whether cooked or raw. How do you like to enjoy King salmon?
Yeah, I like it multiple of ways. So, but I suppose my favourite is probably as a sashimi cut. So a raw sashimi cut, a nice soy sauce, dipping soy sauce, you know, a little bit of wasabi. So very, very simple. But it's such a flavoursome product. So you can really taste the difference of, you can taste the difference between salmon that's grown in different areas. You know, whether it's freshwater or marine, you can taste the difference in the sizes of salmon. So the different mouthfeels, different flavour profiles, different amounts of oil, and all of those things add to the different taste of the salmon. So, you know, I really like the flavour of salmon. So I think that as a raw sashimi product, you can taste those differences. So that would be my pick of the bunch.
At the top of the show, you mentioned the different types of salmon. You've got your hands on the fish from sort of go to woe all the way to the plate. What What do you think is so special about the king salmon?
I think probably the special elements of king salmon would be the fact that it's very difficult to grow. So it's very challenging when you finally get to the point of harvesting salmon to be able to create this wonderful and very unique product. So New Zealand produces be something like 80% of the world's king salmon. So, you know, and New Zealand King Salmon as a company is the major supplier. So it's very, very unique. And, you know, the skills, the techniques that the team and the company have developed over, you know, 20 or 30 years of farming the salmon, you know, it's second to none. So it is fantastic to be able to grow this product. It really is, and really, really rewarding.
Visually, it's quite a striking fish, raw, with like amazing marbling through the fish. What does it take to create that for the culinary offering?
Yeah, so we've been running our classical breeding program for, it'll be close to 20 odd years now. We'll have well over 10 generations of salmon. And, you know, that key part of it, it just goes to show how long it takes to select those eating attributes. And you know, that's that marbling, the striking contrast between the those beautiful fat lines and the lovely pinky, peachy coloured flesh. That's all selected as part of our breeding program, or as part of the traits that we select in the breeding program. It is a beautiful fish, and even looking at the fish, you know, when you see the whole the fish in the whole, it's such a powerful fish. You know, large sort of rippling muscles down the side of it. It really is a premium salmon species.
What does the future hold for New Zealand King Salmon?
Yeah, we're in a very exciting phase at the moment. So basically, demand is outstripping supply. We're looking for new water space, and we're just at the point now where we're applying for our first open ocean aquaculture farm. So Blue Endeavour, we call it. It's a farm just on the edge of Cook Strait. Again, it's selected, or the actual site itself is selected based on the lovely, the really strong currents, the cool water. And, you know, we believe it'll be a really great place to grow king salmon. And that's, you know, that project we're hoping will come to fruition in the next 2 to 3 years, where we'll be able to be producing fish from that site.
You've grown up on a really unique, as a family sort of situation on Chatham Island, and then immersed yourself in a career in seafood. What is it that you love about what you do?
I think one of the big things that really holds me to this industry is probably it's certainly the people is a primary one. You know, there's some real characters that work in the seafood industry, and I enjoy working with them. So I think that's been a real draw card, and the other one's probably the environment and the product. So the combination of those two, you know, just being on the water, the challenges that provides, because it's not always plain sailing out there. You know, it can be challenging in the weather conditions and the like. And then the final product, and I suppose with that, the value that people place on that product, you know, it is amazing. It really is.
Well, Mark, it's been an absolute honour to have you on Deep in the Weeds today to hear your story and the story of this extraordinary fish in the king salmon. Please keep in touch, and we'll catch up again soon.
I will do. Hey, thank you very much for the opportunity, Huck, and all the best.
This is the Deep in the Weeds podcast. I'm Anthony Huckstep. Stay tuned as we take a deep dive into the lives of the incredible people who ply their trade in the food and hospitality sector. Special thanks to executive producer Rob Locke for making this all happen. Follow us on Instagram at Deep in the Weeds Podcast, or email us at podcast@deepintheweeds.com.au. Stay safe and be well.